Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Monday, August 17th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well today. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. We're getting close to kickoff, and I am excited about getting the college football season started, especially as it pertains to the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. I think that this is going to be a very intriguing season. It's an important season for Shane Beamer and for the whole program to kind of get the bad taste out of everyone's mouth after last year. But, it's like I was telling some folks this weekend, last year was last year. This is a different team. There's almost 50 new players on the roster. There's a new offensive coordinator, two new offensive line coaches, new running backs coach, new special teams coordinator. So two-thirds of the coordinators are new. You got a new edge coach, outside linebackers, defensive ends coach, and Deion Barnes. New practice schedule or practice philosophy, I guess, and a schedule in the spring and also in the preseason. Shane Beamer implemented just a lot of new. All the other teams from around the league are starting anew as well. And so that's one of those things that should give you hope. I mean, last year's over. That team is in the history books. It was Thanksgiving weekend when they lost the game to Clemson. So I'm just looking forward to getting it started and seeing how it all shakes out once it gets real, so to speak. Now, with the schedule this year, obviously there's different levels of getting real. You have Kent and Towson to start, which is the first time since 1987. South Carolina's opened with back-to-back home games against lower-level opponents. That's a subject of an article on the BigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com today. We're still got our special going on. They keep extending it at on three, and that's good because we've had quite a few of you take advantage of that. So please continue to do so. That's a great price, and like I keep saying, it's going to be an eventful academic year either way. Football, basketball, baseball. It's going to be. It's a big year for a lot of folks at South Carolina, and we want you to be right there with us through this journey, good and bad, right? And so it's and we had loads of scrimmage intel and information beyond what I'm going to talk about today on the site. Chris Clark, Wes Mitchell, Jamie Bradford, and myself all had insider pieces stemming from the scrimmage. I want you to check all that out, man. It's good to get the intel and info, and it's a great price. And you get all of On Three Rivals, all the great college football stuff that they do as well. But big year, looking forward to it. And South Carolina's got a team that I think on paper can match up with everybody on the schedule. Match up doesn't always mean win. I think they matched up well last year in certain situations. And it didn't go their way, obviously, in a lot of them. So the scrimmage this weekend, I'm going to talk about Jaden Sellers and Jaden Gibson and those injuries after we kind of go through some of the scrimmage highlights. Both of those guys are out for the year, lower body injuries with both of them. Jaden Gibson, he did not scrimmage, is my understanding. With Pup, I think it may have happened Saturday, but not too sure on the timeline. Shane Beamer is going to be doing some media today and tomorrow, so he will probably talk about that. Those injuries, they're not that forthcoming with injuries around here, and it's like that everywhere in college football now. But it's one of those things where. I think because of the Jacarius Peake and Dylan Stewart situation, people just kind of whenever an injury happens, it's a little worse than maybe it used to be, because people like to play detective and this is evidence that of this and this is evidence of that, and every individual and the injury situations for each person are different, and so I mean that's just a fact of life, but that's okay. That's okay. It's why we have fun talking about it, right? But we'll discuss. I'll kind of dive into that here in a second. All right. So I've been doing this a while, not too terribly long, Not as long as some folks, but this is, I believe 26 is the 20th football season since we started the Big Spur 1.0 as an ESPN affiliate back in 07. That would be, I think, number 20 going into this year. A lot of fall camps, a lot of preseason camps, I guess. Sorry, Jamie. and all that. And usually, and it hasn't mattered who the head coach has been, Steve Spurrier, Will Muschamp, Shane Beamer. Usually the offense gets dominated in the first scrimmage. I mean, not, I mean, really. I remember during the Spurrier era almost every year, like, oh, the offense, man, blah, 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 blah. The defense just get after him. And the reason for that is it's pretty logical. You don't have scrimmages against other teams and preseason games and stuff like that in college football. And so the defense can usually kind of dissect your offense. Offense is usually kind of installing and, getting things together. They're getting their act together, right? And there's been some very good offenses at South Carolina through the years. 2010's an example of that. They had 1,000-yard rusher, 3,000-yard passer, a 1,500-yard receiver, won the SEC East. Nothing wrong with that offense at all. And the defense still, first scrimmage, went out there and beat their brains in. And sometimes it's closer than maybe we think, but it's just how it is, and it's a good sign. The two times it hasn't happened, the COVID year in 2020, and I don't think anybody would confuse that for a good offense. Mike Bobo did all he could to score points. In a year, nobody was playing defense. And then, Carolina's defense, despite having a lot of talent, they had a lot of folks, in and out of the lineup because of COVID and stuff, especially on the D line. That defense ended up falling apart. Amazingly enough, Will Muschamp's final game as the coach at Carolina, he lost 59 to 42 to Ole Miss. 59-42. Started out with a very must champion win at Vanderbilt 13-10 and ended in a shootout. So that was bizarre. But that was a bizarre year in 2020. 2014 was another year that happened, and we know how bad the defense was. So it's always a good sign. I always take it as a good sign. I tell everybody that. Saturday was different, folks. It su surprised me, the feedback that I got. And then, because the offense came out, and I think this is a function of number one, kind of not how I keep using the word easy to learn. Easy sounds weird. It's not, it's I guess it is easy to learn. It's Kendall Bryle's offense. We talked about that with what Lane Kiffin mentioned during a couple of press conferences about Kendall and how. When he worked with Kendall Briles at Florida Atlantic, that's when they started implementing some of the, he called it the Baylor stuff. And they shortened a lot of the terminology. And he said it's very simple to learn. And then he talked about Trinidad Chambliss last season coming in during the summer and learning the offense quick at quarterback. He's like, when have you ever heard of that? And then, of course, Trinidad thrived. Led them almost, they're a play away from. Going and playing for Ole Miss, or Ole Miss was a play away from going and playing Indiana for all the marbles. Of course, Lane Kiffin wasn't coaching at that point, but that's just that the point is that, I think part of it, part of the reasons offenses have struggled in first scrimmages, and they do just about everywhere, is the, they're still swimming mentally. It's assignment. There's a lot more complexities with offense, usually learning wise, than defense. There's a lot of mistakes. And there were some mistakes Saturday. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't a flawless scrimmage by any means. But the offense came out and did some damage early on the defense and moved the ball and scored touchdowns. Lenore Sellers with a deep strike to DJ Black, from what we reported. I was told all four running backs look good. The offensive line, this is the big part. The offensive line held up. In this system, you do need protection. I don't want it to sound like you can just let people run free like we've seen, but there was not a lot of that early. especially early on in the scrimmage. And Sellers operated well. Sellers, I was told, looked pretty doggone good on his short and intermediate passes. That's a big key. But operationally, it was pretty clean for a first scrimmage. And that's what you look for, is your quarterback to kind of, everything's kind of second nature to him. And that's a good sign for the season. It doesn't mean that the next scrimmage that the offense is going to go out and go up and down the field, and it doesn't mean that against Kent, Towson, Mississippi State, Bama, that it's going to be this flawless thing of beauty, because it's never that way. But it's encouraging, the progress. The biggest takeaway for me from the feedback was the offensive line. And keep in mind, this is an offensive line without Jacarius Peak, their best player. And this is a good defensive line. Now, the defensive line doesn't have its best player either, Dylan Stewart. But it was, it wasn't like there was a lot of concern about the defense afterward, because the defense ended up responding, adjusting, and all that. But and Clayton White's even mentioned it, that this style of offense is one that it's tough to defend for coordinators, and you see it. Even the best defenses around the SEC at times struggle to stop this offense. Even at Mississippi State, with their personnel situations they've had the last couple of years, they're out there putting points on the board. But I think they put 31 up against Georgia with Michael Van Buren, his in Levy's first year on the road. They had Texas beat last year, 35 on the board. They can score at times, because the system gives them trouble. And then that's not even to mention Ole Miss and Tennessee with Kiffin and Heupel and what they've been doing. Now you got this system at South Carolina. Auburn will run a variation of it under Alex Golish, and now Kiffin's at LSU. I believe under John David Baker at Ole Miss, they'll continue to do it too, because he kind of came down through the Kiffin tree, came over from East Carolina to run the offense for Pete Golding. So it's a popular system for a reason, and South Carolina has what I call the Michael Corleone of the system. If Art Briles is Vito, then Kendall's Michael, to use a Godfather reference. And so I think they're in good shape there. Was told that Kendall Briles had a really good night dialing plays up, because you can go tempo all you want and it's going to be effective. But then there's also like straight up, Steve Spurrier style play calling. You call this here because you're dialing them up. And I heard he had a pretty good night with that. And there's some people that are impressed with his actual just play calling, no matter what tempo they're going at. So that's good. And this offense is kind of designed to not confuse the defense, but the defense doesn't, it's hard to determine in that amount of time where the ball is going. And it's designed to give the quarterback options, RPOs, things like that, hit a little bit the other night. And so there's just a lot of encouraging signs the offense will kind of get out of the ditch. And I think that's what everybody sort of wants. People want points on the board. They don't want to struggle to score, that kind of thing. And people are tired of that. In all sports, scoring, shooting in basketball, hitting the ball in baseball. That's the objective of the game. The team with the most points wins. That's a Captain Obvious statement, but if you're not scoring, it's hard to win. And Carolina last year had an abnormal amount of non-offensive touchdowns. Otherwise, the numbers, the actual scores would have looked a lot worse. But it's a new day on offense. So I think that, that's very encouraging. The line thing is extremely encouraging, because most of the time when you've had these ugly scrimmages, the Carolina offensive line could not keep the defensive line off. Now, that's not to say that the defensive line did not have some really good moments. Tommy Wadura Jaye, Julian Walker had a few moments there. I was told Judge Collier and Vakari Swain looked outstanding covering. And you know, it's the six of one, half dozen of another thing in an inter squad scrimmage. It's like, okay, well, are you worried about the defense? And so I checked on. I was like, well, I was talking to a couple of contacts. I was like, well, I'm worried about the defense now. What's the deal? Well, don't worry about them. They'll be fine. And so I'll take people at their word on that. And there's also a lot of good players. You know, Kelby Collins is a player that keeps getting brought up to me, the transfer from Alabama. And you know, I was looking into him the other day, and I wrote about this. At Florida as a freshman, he was a what, all SEC freshman defensive end, maybe all American. He had a heck of a freshman year, and then things kind of changed. They slid him inside. I don't know that he was quite ready for that. His body type is more inside, although he can play outside if you need it. Was told he was inside on Saturday night and looked good. He's kind of at that grown man level. You know, he's an older guy, third SEC school. His brother's there with him, Drew Collins. And, just a guy to keep an eye on. I don't know that he would be in my projected depth chart right now. Sorry, projected starters on the depth chart. He's on the depth chart, the two deep. But he's a guy that certainly can get in there and make some things happen for Travion Robertson this year. He's just a guy to keep an eye on. And so, look, I mean, that was a good, a lot of folks were like, this is the best scrimmage balance-wise they've had. The kicking game, place kicking, who's kicking field goals and all that, and this is going to come up. And my diehards on the Insiders Forum, I posted some tidbits, and I was like, I mentioned the offensive line and some players and some intel and stuff like that. And I mentioned the kicking game. Well, they need to find themselves a kicker because, nobody's separated or won the job. And, if nobody's doing that, that means nobody's really doing all that well, right? And so it's not a situation where, well, they're both really good and you can't decide now. They need somebody to step up and take the job. And I love it because, and this is kind of, after my own heart, so to speak. You mentioned that about the line and the offense. First time in 20 years, where there's been this much balance in a scrimmage, a first scrimmage, not the last scrimmage. And the kick, everybody latches on the kick. I mean, all the posts afterwards, kicker, kicker, kicker. So I love that because you're sweating the sweating stuff. Oh my God, what's going on here? People are kind of looking for like a coach, like looking for problems to fix. It's very Nick Saban-esque. So I got a kick out of that, but no pun intended. But yeah, that's got to come along. Max Kelly, big leg. Sort of the projected starter after summer. Upton Bellefont, the Texas Tech transfer, should, again, he's 18 for 21 when he kicked for Pete Limbo. We all know Pete Limbo knows special teams at Buffalo. Went to Texas Tech last year, was 6 for 7 as the backup. Yeah, he just hadn't reached up and gotten the job. Malik Orson is a guy that's never kicked. He's a transfer from Southeast Missouri State, a bigger kid as well. So that position's got to come along. It's the SEC. One way to, if you've got an iffy kicker situation, one way to combat that is score touchdowns, right? Spurrier used to say, well, just score touchdowns. And I guess that's one way to do it, but is that realistic? No, you're going to have be able to put 3 points on the board on a drive, game-winning drive, whatever. And so those kickers have some work to do, but we're just under 3 weeks till kickoff, and there's plenty of time to do it. And like I've told everybody, I've seen this movie before. I've seen it where everybody's worried sick about it, and then somebody steps up. Somebody goes out there and is pretty doggone good, and so hopefully that's the case this year, but it just hasn't happened yet. I mentioned all the time that how football off seasons are a journey. Different guys emerge at different times. I mean, you don't get your lineup set in July or early August. And then one day it clicks and away we go. That's just kind of how it goes in this sport. Kicking is very, very different. It's like putting or free throw shooting. A lot of it's mental. Yeah, there's just work to do there. But shout out to the diehards who, that was what they were sweating. That's kind of the cloth I'm cut from. So I can relate to that. Special teams freak out, right? Incoming on the show. So that's good. All right. So Sellers and Gibson, we'll talk about that. I want to be clear that although this is a position where Carolina's got a lot of names and a lot of competition, a lot and some depth that in theory you can trust, Jaden Sellers is a big loss. He was going to start most likely. Mazio Bennett was giving him a run for his money in the slot, but you look at Pup's, they call him Pup. Look at his production last year once he started playing, the tenacity with which he plays, the freedom, the ability to make people miss after the catch, the suddenness sometimes. I mean, he's a heck of a player. And you can't just sit there and say, oh, you got more, Longshanks and Braveheart when he was like, oh yeah, but we have reserves. No, it doesn't work that way. You're gonna miss him. And you hate it for him because, chances are this is his last chance to play with his brother. You hate it for Lenoris. I think Carolina can replace him with competent to good. But you always want your top guys. I think that, with recruiting and things like that these days, we look at star ratings and we look at players that, are in the program that came to that hadn't done it yet, but came in with a lot of, I guess, I don't want to say hype, but a lot of high expectations. And they're still young and not ready, but, then it's like somebody that's better right now gets hurt. And so you just assume because this guy is highly touted that, oh, this guy's going to come in and do it. And that's just not always the case. I think they'll absolutely miss Pup Sellers out for the year with a lower leg or lower body injury. But Mazio Bennett had a good scrimmage. It looks like he's back. He had a good spring last year. He's carried it over this year at that slot spot. And then, of course, we talked Friday about Sequel Patterson. I do think this gives him an opportunity and a clear path to get on the field, and he's just a special athlete, and so maybe they'll accelerate his development and learning process and all that good stuff. Jaden Gibson hurts too, a little bit different way because he's a different type of receiver, but. You hurt for him. Here's a guy that hadn't played football in 2 years because he hadn't been able to stay healthy. Gets to Carolina. I don't know if you saw the video of the first day of practice or one of the early practices, man. A guy like that, you could just tell how excited he was to get on the field and be practicing again after that time off, and how everything you hear about him is so grateful for the opportunity to play at South Carolina. He was doing some really good things in practice. He's 6'5", the type of receiver Carolina doesn't have a lot of. I mean, you could just kind of see it coming together for him, and then boom, he's out for the year. That's a brutally, brutally tough thing. Football-wise, there's not really anybody to replace him because there's not by anybody like that's that was like him in the receiver room. Now, is he going to start? Probably not, but. You could see a couple of things. You could see him lining up at the other outside receiver position with Nick Harbor. You could also see him being the next guy up behind Nick Harbor at that outside spot. So where do you go to kind of replace the role that he possibly was going to play? I look at Malik Clark as a guy that could possibly do that. There's also some, I don't want to say short, not as tall guys. They can go up and get it. Donovan Murph is one of those. So I don't know if they'll look at him there or not. But on the other outside spot, and DJ Black as well, other outside spot, you got DJ Black, you got Nitro Tuggle, you got Donovan Murphy. That's going to be a war. That's a war to see who comes out of there. So maybe one of those slides either in A into the slot or over to the other. I mean, I don't know how they're going to, Mike Furry's going to do it, but I know that those are the guys that kind of go up and get it, guys. Not that you have to, as an outside guy, always be that jump baller, because Nick Harbor's not. I mean, he's not a jump baller. But I just hate it for Gibson. One more guy to mention with regards to the slot position is Lake Cyrus. Shane Beamer mentioned him during an interview with my man Wild Bill Gunner on 107.5 The Game last week, as a guy that's flashed lots of speed for the second year guy from Pennsylvania. Gamecocks won a big recruiting battle for him with Penn State, so Lake Cyrus would be another guy in that slot spot with Sequel and Mazio. Bennett, Stone Fury, I think fits that role as well. So there's options, but the problem is they're not. I mean, you've got six games worth of production to look at in games for Pup, and the others, not so much, or the production wasn't at South Carolina. So that's a big loss. So you hate it for those guys, but there are options to replace. All right. There's my scrimmage TED talk, folks. It was a good one. A lot of encouraging signs. That's all it is. It's just a first scrimmage. They got another one. And then they do a little bit of scrimmaging, but you get three. That third one's sometimes just a, I don't want to say a walkthrough practice, maybe a live practice, something like that. But the second scrimmage is when, the meat separates from the bone, so to speak, with starters and who's going to be on special teams. And the coaches are constantly meeting about personnel. And that's what this is. Preseason camp and practice is to determine who's going to play for the Gamecocks. And so if we talk all the time about people looking good in practice and they don't show up in the games and people are wondering why, well, it's relative. The reason it's important that a guy's good in practice is because if they are, they're ascending the depth chart. So they're going to be playing for the Gamecocks this year. And you can look at things too, about the roster and how it matches up. But roster and talent doesn't, that's a piece of the pie that you bake when it comes to winning and losing games. It's just part of it. Coaching matters, execution matters, luck matters, that kind of thing, over the course of a college football game. And we know that, but we all want certainty right now, right? Well, we want to know if they're going to win 10. I don't, that's why I don't do that. So I try to stay away from win predictions, so because there's just too many scenarios, it's impossible. Learned my lesson on that back in 2018, but I do think there are encouraging signs, both as it relates to individuals going to play and then how they will perform in a game setting, just from the standpoint of offensive execution, and they knew what they were doing, and so they're ahead of the curve in the learning process. The learning process is important, as we found out last year, right? Especially on the offensive line. So good signs all the way around. ITG today, I'm filling in for Bradford this morning at 9. Then he's going to be along, oh, sorry, at 10, and he's going to be along afterwards. We got Wes Mitchell in. We got Mike Morgan in. Me and the Mad Dog will be up for the show portion here on Mad Dog Monday, or used to be Meatloaf Monday. We've 86 the meatloaf thing. It was kind of a summer thing, but or spring thing. But we're excited about that. Also, thebigspur.com. We got a lot of content coming up later today. You'll be sure to be a part of us in Gamecock Central. But looking forward to chatting it up with Wes and Mike and all that, with more scrimmage stuff coming up. All right, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Have a fantastic Monday, everyone. I'm out. Holla.